This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a great morning it is today. It's the first Monday in July, if my memory serves me, and it doesn't always serve me. So, you know, I'm glad that I can get it right this time. Glad you're joining us today for the front line. As always, we have a great program for you today. In particular, I think the Lord's going to inspire a lot of people, especially people in the younger ages, and you'll find out more what I'm talking about as the program unfolds. Before we introduce our guests today, though, I must, first I'm going to say we would normally have Ed Skiba with us today, but he's not really feeling well. So I did ask him if he would mind if we prayed, and he said no. It'd be nice to have 7.5 million people praying for him.
Amen.
So they're not all listening, though. But those who are, tell your friends. Let's pray for our brother Ed. Father God, yes, we lift Ed up to you. Lord, we thank you for the life you've given him, the mission that he served for many, many decades, really served you, Lord, in so many different venues with the same passion and desire to serve you, Father. And today he's not feeling well. He's kind of under the weather, and he seeks your grace, your blessing, your healing. And so we pray you restore our brother Ed, work in his body. It's the body that lived a long time, long life, and there are some parts that he's going to ask you to refurbish. And so we're joining him and you, Lord, as we pray for this this healing that Ed needs. And we know, Lord, you already begun moving. I already know his needs, and we're simply not reminding you, but we're coming together as the body of Christ, as you call us to do, that as a body, to lift up our brother to you for that recommended and appreciated grace to restore him. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And now the co-host that is here, Ann Limhoko.
Good morning.
After
it's
many
great to
travels,
be here.
After going back and forth
several
times. Yeah, I'm
fresh
times.
From the Canadian Rockies area where I did some hiking in Banff, Canada. And I just want to tell you, I'm a big like outdoorsy person.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to be as outdoorsy as I normally am because the Florida heat is so oppressive compared to where I'm from in Chicago.
Yes.
But I was like in my element in the Canadian Rockies. I don't know if you guys have heard of Banff, Canada. It's just north of Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful lakes, beautiful mountains, beautiful glaciers, wildlife. Oh, I had really intimate time with the Lord just being in creation and nature. So I'm grateful that my sister and I were able to take my parents, who are in their 70s, and they did some
That's
hiking.
Great. Wow.
And I had to did some with my sister as well alone, and it was a beautiful, blessed time. So I praise God for that opportunity to go out there. It's been
great.
Like a dream of mine, but I couldn't go during COVID because they wouldn't let me in. I didn't have the shot.
That's right. Yeah.
They don't have that requirement anymore.
But I'm glad you could go. And frankly, I understand in Florida this time of year, there's more to do indoors than outdoors. Although, to be honest, there's more outdoors than indoors, you know. So let's hope weather will change at some point.
I'm grateful to be in Florida, too. So I love the state and the free state of Florida. So
amen. You know, that. Me too. I can put up with some of the heat, you know, knowing where we are in our leadership.
Yes.
You have to look at the conservative leadership.
Yeah, that's
praise
why I'm
God,
here.
God-loving leadership. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, Ann, I'm going to ask you, since you really know these wonderful folks and you brought them to us, please introduce them.
Well, I believe in divine appointments, and mm-hmm. I met these lovely ladies. We have Tessa Toman here and her lovely mom, Shaylin. So they're both joining us in the studio today, so thank you for being here. But I met Tessa when I'm at Revive Church. I believe that's the first time I met you. I'm very politically involved in the Christian circles, and Tessa is a rising 17-year-old who loves the Lord, but is so mature beyond her age. And she is currently now the president of Turning Point USA's Club America for the Treasure Coast. So she engages young people. And I'm telling you, she's 17, but she is more mature than a lot of people I know. And she is anointed by the Lord. I've prayed over her because I see a calling on her life. Mm. And I know when you get into this realm, I've been in this realm for a long time, pride can set in.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a humility in Tessa. And I have to give kudos to her mom and dad who've raised her right. And I know that Shaylin's here, but also her father. And she has a brother as well. But what she's doing is she's engaging young people at a time when there's a lot of woke and there's a lot of lies coming at our young people. Mm-hmm. And we need people like Tessa to speak truth. You know, it's different if I'm speaking it, you know, at my age versus you and you're their age, you know. So you started, you could tell us more about your story, but I know she's also a campaign manager for State Rep Dana Tribolsi, who I know very well as well. So I know that the Lord kind of shifted your priorities because I didn't think, if I understand correctly, this was not what you were looking into doing, right? So let's start first. First, I want to say thank you for Tessa and Shaylin for being here today. Thank you for driving from Port St. Lucie, battling some traffic. But came here right on time. So thank you for being here and thank you for your heart to serve the Lord. I want to ask you, Tessa, first, share your testimony, what we like to call your God story with us. How did you meet the Lord?
So my parents, they've always, you know, they raised me up in the way that, you know, they should. And I went to a private school.
Yep.
They taught me, you know, how to be saved, how to read the Bible, how to engage with your relationship with God. And I just remember in the car one day going to school, and I was like, Mom, I really don't want to go to hell. Can you please pray with me?
Amen.
So that's like what kind of struck me, because I was genuinely scared. But then I realized, you know, that's not all there is to it. You have to have that communion with Him, that relationship with Him. And the more I grew in my faith, I had a deep understanding of that. And when I was around 3 years old, I was diagnosed with ITP. And so that was very, very scary.
What is ITP?
So my mom might be able to share a little bit more, because I was so young, but I had bruising all over my body. It's a blood clotting disorder.
Oh.
And so I was sent to the hospital. Like, the doctors thought that
her body wouldn't clot.
Yes.
Really?
Was the issue. So they told me that if she even walked out, she would probably bleed to death if she fell down. So we
really?
Had to go immediately to the hospital.
At three years old, it came out of nowhere?
Yeah. She just had some bruising on her neck. She had a broken capillary in her eye.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I've actually never had a broken capillary in my eye.
Yeah.
So we went to the doctors for bruising.
Yeah.
And her blood count was extremely low. I think it's supposed to be 400,000 and it was 1,000.
It was very, very bad. And they poked and prodded me, you know, like they had to do so many tests.
Yeah.
And so after that, I was very, very like adverse to hospitals, anything medical. It was very traumatizing to me.
Sure, you were so young,
but
too.
But the Lord healed me. People prayed over me. I was, 200,000 over what was required to leave?
In that moment, it was kind of one of the hardest times in my life
as a
mother to watch my daughter suffer through that. They were testing her for leukemia. They were testing her for all kinds of things. But one doctor who just was fresh out of school said, I think it's this rare condition called ITP.
Yeah.
And so they treated her. I think it's called IVIG. And it basically coats the spleen and helps you kind of, I don't know all the medical terms, but it basically helps your blood start to do what it's supposed to.
Sure.
And so they had to do it about three times because it would go up only a little bit and then fall right back down.
Wow.
So my prayer was that it would just be so big that it could only be God.
Amen. Give God the glory.
And so I was in prayer every day, all day, praise and worship. I just couldn't stop because I know who my God is.
Amen.
And I want to say 2 days later, they said it was 100,000 and that we could leave.
Wow. That was so good.
So it went from 10, we got it up to about 10,000 and then it went up to 100,000 on our next
visit to the
doctor. Well, we were in the hospital for about 4 days.
Okay.
And so they had done this treatment over and over again. So it finally, you know, God showed them who he
above
was.
Above and beyond.
Wow,
yes.
Wow. Praise God.
Our God still heals today.
He does.
He sure does.
A lot of our listeners, if you don't know, our God still heals today. Yeah.
And so to kind of go off of that, What happened was when I was around, I want to say nine.
Yep.
I'm very short. Like, you know, I walked
Welcome
in here,
to the
I'm
club.
4'10", right? And I've always been very short. And so when I went to the doctors for a checkup, they were like, you're far under where you're supposed to be. This is unacceptable. They wanted to put me on puberty blockers. Like, it was very, very, like, urgent.
Mm.
And so nobody knew what was really going on. My mom had been inquiring about this my whole life. It's not that, like, this was suddenly, all of a sudden, I'm not growing. It's I never really was growing up to par.
Mm.
And so we went to some doctors, ran some tests, and I was diagnosed with growth hormone deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And so having, you know, the traumatic experiences in the hospital,
mm.
that was just so jarring for me. And
yeah.
I really did not like blood work, you know, shots, injections. I was not okay with any of that just because of, like, the PTSD I had developed from going through that at such a young age. And then when I was diagnosed with growth hormone deficiency, the treatment is you have to give yourself injections every night.
Mm.
And so that was, like, so, so hard because I genuinely had PTSD over what happened
yeah.
when I was younger.
Yeah.
But the Lord, you know, redeemed that, and I was able to go forward. I was able to take the treatment for years and years and years. I'm not super tall, but I didn't have any other, you know, developmental delays or, you know, adverse side effects because of, you know, that condition.
Amen.
And so that is such a blessing. But that has all of those different health instances that
yeah.
many people don't really know about me
yeah.
has led me to the Lord and constant relationship with him because he has healed me and he has
Praise
continued
God.
To heal me.
Amen.
And, you know, I have had the best end of everything at the end of the day. You
yeah.
know, I don't have ITP anymore. I've been healed of that. Even though I have growth hormone deficiency, there are far worse, you know, instances or side effects I could be under right now. And
yeah.
I am completely healed of all of it. I'm
Amen.
Just a little bit short. And so God has been really good. And that has been what has deepened my relationship with him and what
yeah.
has caused me to lean into him, especially when it comes to my calling for life and what my future looks like. Because many times in my life, I didn't know what my future is going to look like.
Yeah. So what was your trajectory? What did you think you wanted to go into? Like, what were your career goals?
So I wanted to be a butcher, and I still do.
Isn't that interesting? I, when I first heard that, I was like, that
yeah,
is so cool.
Heard.
Right? That's very niche. But
yeah,
I've done 4-H for the past 10 years. I've been involved with the 4-H County Council.
Mm-hmm.
I've been the president of my club. I've done so many different workshops and volunteer opportunities and so many things through Florida 4-H and other agricultural organizations. I got to do the UF Hockenham program. I am completing it my final year this year. I've done it for the past 4 years.
I don't even know what that
and
is.
And so you go up to the University of Florida, you pick a pig, you raise it at your home,
oh.
you take it back up, and then they teach you how to slaughter, butcher, process, and package
wow.
it, and you get to keep all the meat.
Wow.
So
wow.
I know. It's so cool. And I started doing it. There's no other program like that. And I started doing it because I just wanted me. I was like, it's very, very cost effective. I don't have to collect
yeah.
all this money for bacon. I might as well just raise it myself. And
yeah.
so through that process, you also have to audit different grocery stores. You have to audit different butchers. And through that, I began shadowing different producers and farmers and butchers. And I really realized, like, my love for the meat industry
mm-hmm.
and how oppressed, you know, farmers
yes.
and producers are in this day and age
yes.
and how they're constantly being undermined by these huge corporations.
Yes.
And so as a producer myself, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to go into the butchering industry, but I realized that there's a lot of policies that are infringing upon our farmers
mm-hmm.
and producers.
Yep.
And so that's what kind of got me engaged in politics to an extent,
mm-hmm.
which I've always been civically engaged and informed and active, but I never wanted to enter the scene myself. And so through seeing what has been happening in Florida specifically, because we're such a big, you know, citrus and cattle state,
yep.
we're one of the biggest, obviously. And that really inclined me to learn more and encouraged me to see how legislatively I could enact change to support our farmers here in Florida.
Mm. I had no idea. That's
well,
the reason why you kind of got into the political realm.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
always, whenever we become passionately involved in something, it's always a stimulus within us
yep.
that we may not even ourselves be aware of in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, but clearly you are. I was going to ask you, Tessa,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give me a little preamble here. And Ann knows, in fact, probably shares some of these frustrations with me.
Yeah.
In that we hear at the station encourage Christians to vote, which half of us don't do.
Very much so.
And so when horrible laws get passed and policies get created and implemented and people complain, Christians complain and say, well, where were you at the polls when these people were elected?
Exactly.
You know, and there are better people running for office that weren't. I mean, that's one aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So to hear, excuse me, it's a byproduct of breathing. I'll just tell you right now. But don't stop. It's on my account. But because of the, and when you think of what happens in the electoral process in America, mm-hmm. and you look at the poll. I mean, a lot of the stats show, in most cases, Christians themselves will say, "I didn't vote. Yeah. I'm registered. I'm eligible. I didn't vote." Mm-hmm. And so now here's someone in your generation, wonderful generation, by the way. That God is filling up with believers.
Amen. Yes.
And so I'm going to ask you to address not just your age group, not just your peers, but every Christian of any age listening right now. Mm-hmm. Why, at the heart of it, how, when you look at getting involved and are involved, what do you hear God saying to you about the value of that?
So I'm going to lead with a little story, and then I'll transition into my response. When I was 13, I was approached to phone bank for the Human Life Protection Amendment. And so this was an amendment supposed to rival Amendment 4 come the 2024 election. Mm. And it would have prohibited abortion, you know, point blank from conception. And as a Christian, you know, we should believe that and we should perpetuate that in our society. And we should want to end abortion.
Yep.
And so my job was to call every church here on the Treasure Coast. And so I started calling. Every single church except for my own said no. They said they will not host these petitions. They will not show a video. Mm. All they had to do was I would bring them the petitions. If they wanted to show a video, they could. And it was 3 minutes long. You can put it on. Your congregation would come out. I would help them sign up. Very easy. Very, straightforward. Every single church I called, spoke to, every pastor said, no, we don't want to get political. That was so discouraging to me as a child. Because I was like, I'm 13 and I can understand this basic, you know, process and these basic principles. And I'm willing to go out on a limb and call people, which was very scary for, you know, a 13-year-old to call these adults and say, hey, are you willing to take a stand for something that I would assume you would take a stand for as a Christian? And so that was also something that really got me civically active because if the church doesn't know their identity and Christians aren't voting in accordance to Christian values, we cannot be surprised that the culture is the way it is because the church is the facet. It is supposed to flow into the culture. The culture is an offset of the church.
Yes.
That's how it's supposed to be. That is
we're supposed to be dictating
is.
The culture, the church, mm-hmm. not the other way around.
Exactly. Amen. Instead, we're allowing the culture that we're not influencing to influence us.
Yep.
And so that is what has been on my heart. And, you know, I think it was Dr. Ben Carson who said that if every Christian voted in accordance with Christian values, we would have a different culture and we would be in a different mm-hmm. political climate. But mm-hmm. Christians think politics are dirty and they don't want to get involved or engaged. Mm-hmm. Politics are dirty because Christians aren't in it. And that's not a crazy take. Mm-hmm. You know, if Christians voted in accordance with Christian values, they ran for candidacy, they filled these offices, we would be in a much different place.
Yep.
But instead, we're like, oh, these people are bought and sold. All of these candidates don't stand for my values. I know that once they get in their seat, they're really a liar.
Mm-hmm.
All of these different things. Well, why don't you find a candidate that actually is going to stand firm in biblical principles and mm-hmm. values mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. perpetuate that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because our nation was founded on biblical values, mm-hmm. and we should want to restore our nation to that because we're so far gone from that.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of my response. I think that my generation specifically, I'm so honored to be a part of, you know, a revival, mm-hmm. but I think we need an awakening.
Yes.
Pastor, I forget who it was, but it was Charlie Kirk's pastor. I believe it was.
I know who he is.
Yes.
I forgot his name too.
No, I don't know why. I literally met him. I had like such a lovely conversation with him. But it went from my head. But he said that the difference between a revival and an awakening is that a revival wakes people up, but an awakening, Christians shepherd those new believers and help them apply those lessons that they have learned into their relationship and into society.
Mm.
And I think that right now we are in that revival state, mm-hmm. but we need to transition into an awakening in order for this to be fruitful and actually you know, be productive long term.
Yes.
And Amen. So that's what my prayers are. And I think, you know, with organizations I'm a part of, such as Turning Point USA for Liberty and Justice, mm-hmm. All of these wonderful, wonderful political activist organizations that hold biblical values at the forefront, I think that is what is influencing the culture and ultimately, you know, my generation and the generations after me. Mm-hmm. And so I am very, very excited to see what God does. But we need to be willing as Christians to shepherd this new generation yeah. of believers and being Christians.
I'm totally with you on that. That's an awesome way of saying it, too. And I see God in that. And I'm praying more people need to, I don't know, I'm going to speak. I think I can speak for people in my age group. Although there aren't many of us at my age group, you know, a lot of them have died. But I'm a baby boomer, you know, for good or ill, and there's a lot of us still left. But a lot of my generation kind of walked away from the church. Mm-hmm. And I will say in a lot of cases because their parents weren't as involved.
Mm.
And what you said is so true. It even lifts the lid on the engine of America when it comes to the viability of our culture mm-hmm. as a culture. Really, our nation was started by God.
Absolutely.
We say this a lot on this divine. Program and on this station. We say it a lot because it's true. Because God is resetting, is actually restoring America.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing that. And if you don't know that, I want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a believer, you're a part of that restoration. God is calling you to use your gifts, your skills, resources, whatever, as God leads, become a part of this. And in so doing, you know, and by the way, nobody's too old, okay?
Never
too old. I don't care. Maybe your health isn't that good. Maybe you can't do what you used to do. But if you have a brain and it's working and you have a mouth and it's working, you get the basics that God needs for you to serve him in that way mm-hmm. and to make the proclamation of God's intent for America. This is critical. You know, when you look at how far we've gone from our founder's intentions.
Yeah.
And if that's where you see that, then yes, one response to that is, oh my gosh, America as God intended it is coming to a close. And I've heard a lot of people, that's what they believe.
Mm.
Now listen, okay, I'm going to preach for a minute. I've licensed to do that, so it's okay. Say, look, number one, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not listening to God. You're listening to yourself mm-hmm. and other small-minded people. That's it. That's what's happening.
Or the enemy, just the enemy. Yeah,
listening to the enemy absolutely. Who is being understood by small-minded people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get away from that. Do 180. Go on your knees. Go to the foot of the cross and ask God what he wants you to do to participate in the restoration of this nation, which he is doing.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And he wants you to be a part of it. Okay, that's my sermon. We will not take up a collection.
Don't you love David's sense yes. of humor? And then with Ed, who's normally here, the both of them together.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost a lost cause when we get started. We have about, I'm going to say, 6 minutes before we go to our break, which is only about 2 minutes. But
yeah.
So in that time, I just want to give you a chance, Tessa, to say anything you feel like you may not have said enough of before we go on the break to fill in, you know, the questions about your spiritual beginnings, what your involvement is right now.
Yeah.
You know, where your heart is.
Yeah, so my heart really is to get the church civically active and engaged. That's my vision, and that's what I hope to see through in my generation. And I think it's possible, and I think that the
Amen.
Lord is setting us up for such a time as this
mm-hmm.
and
Amen.
we're gonna rock it. I think we're gonna do amazing things, but people need to be civically engaged in order for this to happen
mm-hmm.
which I know a lot of people don't want to hear. But through Turning Point USA, the work I'm doing there, through Turning Point Faith, which I am transitioning fully into in the fall
mm-hmm.
I'm very, very excited to see the church get engaged and want to take in these leadership positions and roles
mm-hmm.
and, you know, literally just vote. Like, that's all you need to do if nothing else is vote.
Yeah.
Be informed.
Yeah.
I highly suggest meeting with candidates, having conversations with these electeds,
mm-hmm.
You know, seeing what their policies are, what they're actually going to do, what their track record is. That's very important. People can say things all day and all night, but if their track record shows mm-hmm. differently, that's important. And so I'm just all about being informed. And I highly suggest if you have a candidate you identify with, support them, support their campaign. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with me. I'm an intern under Congressman Brian Mast's campaign. Mm-hmm. And I was able to learn so much about politics just through there. Mm-hmm. And I was able to learn a lot more about him as a person in the legislative process that he goes through as a congressman. Mm. And so there's so much opportunity there that is not being accessed by us.
Yeah.
And through that, I was able to network and have so many wonderful connections that I am ultimately now Representative Trabolsi's campaign manager. Mm-hmm. And that has been such a blessing as well, because I've been able to learn so much about the state legislative process. And as someone who hopes to run for office myself, I really, really appreciate
that. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Maybe
you didn't know that?
No, I had no idea. And that's good. I didn't know that.
That's my goal.
Praise God. Local first and then go upstate to federal? Or what is your heart?
I'm seeing what the Lord is going to do and what's going to be advantageous to me. But my end goal is to be Florida's Commissioner of Agriculture. That's really where I'm
It gets back to the pigs again.
Right?
Yeah, I see
well, that,
that
makes sense.
Or farming.
That makes sense. That's a very important position,
that
by
is,
the way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that not many people are informed about what that position does.
Yeah.
And I think even the candidates that run for that position, nobody knows and nobody can make informed decisions.
Wilton Simpson. Yes.
He's lovely. I hope to meet him soon. He's the only member of the cabinet I haven't met. And I'm like, well, I want your job. I was like, I need to meet you. But
maybe try to get an internship working there. You know what I mean?
We'll see. Yeah. I'm praying, but there's some opportunities opening up for the fall, hopefully. So I'm praying about that in different areas. But I hope to run for office myself. And I think that, you know, you need to support these candidates. You need to door knock. You need to petition if it's petitioning time.
Yep.
You know, we're full swing right now. I've been door knocking. We're about to start door knocking every day. I've been like going to back-to-back trips. I was just in Tallahassee last week with a mock legislation.
Yeah.
You know, event with 4-H. And then this week I was just in D.C. with the Leadership Institute doing a campaign training. And so I've been, you know, all around, but I'm organizing volunteers. I'd love, if you're listening and you'd like to get involved, please reach out.
Yeah, call the radio station. We can help you get involved. We can connect
you to
the
right connection.
The right connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And your mom, Shaylin, joins you with all this. Were you just in Tallahassee and Washington, D.C. as well, Shaylin?
Yes, I was.
How was it?
It was so incredible.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, Congressman Mast invited us to go to the Capitol, and he gave us a private tour on July 4th, and then we got to watch fireworks from the Capitol steps.
Wow. I was there just like a month ago for that same private tour. His staff is amazing, by the way.
They're so lovely. We know. We were nonstop talking about how wonderful they all are.
That's a big deal for the staff, and got that same tour and everything. But praise God you were able to be in D.C. for the 250th birthday celebration.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Such a blessing.
And people don't understand. That's huge for our country to be 250 years old. The same constitution. Mm-hmm. We have countries going on to like multiple constitutions.
Exactly.
And it's simply a miracle, our country. And we just pray that it will continue, because some people have given up. They're like, I go, well, what about the next 250 years? Some people are like, well, I'm going to be dead. We don't need to worry about that.
Right?
I go, you don't think about your future and future and future generations.
No.
Yeah,
so,
that's another
thing
that I've
complained right.
about. You know, but anyway, let's, I won't give you that complaint, listener. You don't want to hear it. But let's go ahead and take this break that we talked about. It'll be about 2 minutes, and then we'll be back. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries, where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the front line. And we are on the front line. We haven't crawled back to where it's safe. We don't want to do that. We're on the front line, and we have Tessa Toman with us and her mom, Shaylin.
Yes.
I had to write it down. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
But it's always good. But I'm glad to have you with us. And I hope you started with us from the beginning. But if you're just now tuning in or tuned in, Tessa is a wonderfully anointed Christian young woman, 17, but becoming 18 soon.
Yes, 2 months.
She's not even old enough to vote yet.
No, I know. And I'm just like, everybody go out and vote.
But that's okay.
But you know, once she's eligible, she's not going to be missing any vote.
No, special elections. Hate to see me coming.
No.
You didn't even as a kid. You went with me every time.
Yeah.
Oh, see, mom modeling it.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I'm paying attention to, as you've been sharing and as I've been seeking in my spirit to have some perceptions from the Lord about you. And that what the Lord's been telling me is that you were anointed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, before anyone was born, God figured out what your gifts needed. You know, everybody has, by the way. If you don't know what your gifts are, God knows.
We all have a calling.
We all have a calling. And, you know, but you're clearly aware of that. I can't see all the gifts you have, but the ones that you do that have come online are really obvious to me. And so there's leadership gifts that are very important.
Mm-hmm.
You have perception. God's given you a way of perceiving that where you can look through the, well, you look through the biblical lens, through his eyes to see, and then you respond accordingly. I think that's fantastic. And you have a heart, you have a passion to serve the Lord. Your primary goal is to please God. And that should be every Christian's primary
goal.
Absolutely.
And so all of these gifts manifest as they do, have already created a tremendous opportunity. You're jumping on that, and you're sharing it with others, which is, you know, the other side of being a gifted Christian. You know, it's not just, I know I'm gifted, I'm using the gifts, and man, they're fun, which is important. But the other aspect is reaching out, bringing the testimony of what God is doing in your life, and including identifying the gifts he's given you as you're using them. Great teaching, great discipleship building. But for those that are not even near to Christ, it captures their attention. And that's what God uses sometimes to reel in, right? That's how he did with me back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited to hear more about what God is having you do today, Tessa.
Well, why don't we, I want to hear more about Turning Point. You're president of Turning Point USA's Club America.
Yes.
I've kind of always been confused. There's Turning Point and then there's Club America.
Yes.
I know you sent me an email about this, but I'm still a little confused. First of all, how did you get involved and what exactly is Turning Point and Club America and how do they work together and what do you do?
Yes.
I know that's loaded questions.
I got you. I'll
I know you do.
Let me know.
My mind always works
something
like that. No, go ahead, Tessa.
So about a year and a half ago, I want to say, I was dealing with some issues at my college. And so I got connected with the Turning Point USA chapter on campus. And I had an assignment that was in regards to, I believe it was talking to different people that are staffed at this like particular organization and You Choose organization. And so I was always a follower of Turning Point USA. I was always a follower of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And so I was able to somehow, it was literally such a God thing. I got connected to a Turning Point faith staff member, the president on that campus of that Turning Point USA chapter, and then the field director that ultimately would end up being my field director. And so I interviewed each of them. I spoke to them about Turning Point, about civic engagement, about being a Christian and how that looks like, you know, as an activist. And so I got to learn so much, especially when it comes to nonpartisan matters. And that's what really helped shape my perspective when it comes to politics, because I would like to think that I'm more nonpartisan when it comes to my thinking, because I'm very empathetic to the degree where I can see where you're coming from. And although I disagree, I would like to engage with you on a level that hopefully I can persuade you to see my perspective as well. And I think that that has been such a blessing to have, especially as a Christian, because I've been able to help others understand the Christian perspective that may not be popular in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And so after all of these interviews and hearing...
Why were you interviewing them?
I was interviewing them for the school project.
Got it.
And so I chose Turning Point USA. And then one of the one of the people I was going to have a video call with, he was like, what about I just drive up to you and then we can have a meeting? And so we had a meeting, and he was like, so you're starting a Turning Point chapter. And I was like, I didn't know I could do that. For reference, I'm homeschooled. So I didn't know that you could have a Turning Point chapter as a homeschooler. And so way back, it was Turning Point High School, not Club America yet. So Club America is the high school division of Turning Point USA. Okay. So Turning Point USA is for college campuses. Club America is for high school campuses. And so they had to rebrand it at CLS, which is the Chapter Leadership Summit. I went last year. I was going to go this year, but scheduling conflicts. It's going to be this weekend. So I'm very excited for all of the Turning Point members that get to go. It's going to be in Washington, D.C.
Oh, cool.
And so that is going to be such a blessing for them. I was able to learn so much about how to be a leader and how to engage in others when it comes to being a lead for a chapter.
Okay.
And so they rebranded it to Club America at CLS because they were having a very hard time getting it into schools, because if it's Turning Point High School, that already had a negative connotation at the time. They didn't want Charlie Kirk to come to their campus. They didn't want them to blow the whistle and all the bad things they were doing. It. Yes. So if you say no to Club America, you're saying no to America. You know, like what is wrong with you?
There you go.
Exactly. So it was very, very wise on their part. But sadly, it's a little bit hard because of the branding now to get people involved, because I have to, you know, explain that background.
Yeah.
And people just aren't, you know, gravitated towards Club America like they are Turning Point USA. So I call it Turning Point USA. We're a middle school to college age chapter for our typical meetings. And usually, you know, I just play a couple of informational videos. We do a couple of, you know, just moments for dialogue and debate about the topic. I make sure everything's rooted in scripture and biblical principles, and that's something that was really beneficial because I interviewed someone from Turning Point Faith and from the chapter itself when I was first getting involved, because I got to see their dynamic and how they allow biblical principles to influence, you know, the decision-making process inside the chapter and how they articulate different views. And so that's been really beneficial because we've been able to have such a great network of young believers that are able to learn more about, you know, their faith and how it plays out in the political arena or these different hot topics. And so that's something that I'm really excited about. And now that I'm transitioning into Turning Point Faith, because I've been Turning Point USA Faith for the Treasure Coast High School, and now I'm taking it over for all ages. And so I look forward to doing, you know, more events. You were there when we hosted William Federer. That was so wonderful.
They had Bill Federer at one of their events. You know Bill Federer. He's like a huge historian.
He's lovely.
Amazing. Oh, my goodness. That, the way his mind works is just only God, because it's all regurgitation. I can't even
take it all in. I know. I had like 20 pages of notes from just like the one lecture.
Oh, I couldn't keep up.
Listen fast. That's what I say.
But they bring in mainline speakers. They had Citizens for Defending Freedom. You had Robert Goodman. Yes. Then you had Pastor Seth, who's now with CDF.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Is it CDF or ADF? CDF, right?
Yes.
And you meet monthly?
We meet the first and third Friday of every month. And then if there's a fifth, we try to pull in a big speaker if we can. But sometimes scheduling doesn't work like that. But we've hosted Massey Campos. He was one of our very
Pastor
first.
Pastor Massey. Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's amazing.
He was one of our best speakers. I love him so
anointed.
Much.
Anointed.
And he did just such a wonderful job. And that's what really pulled in, you know, our crowd that has ultimately stayed with our chapter, because they just were able to be so informed on, you know, the Constitution and Christian values that our nation were founded upon.
Yep.
And so that he was our very first speaker.
Yeah.
And so that was so lovely, besides myself. But I was like, people are getting sick of me. I need to bring somebody in. I can only say the same thing so many times.
Yeah,
and so I'm trying to get more speakers to come out. We've had Congressman Mass come and speak for us. That was so wonderful. He spoke about being a veteran and his experience in the military and how that has affected his perspective when it comes to legislation and being, you know, a congressman and being at that federal level. And so that was very insightful. We've had school board members, Amy Pritchett and Jackie Rosario, and they did a panel that was super, super lovely, because they're such wonderful Christian women that have been making so much enacting so much change on in that school board level.
Yep.
We've had William Federer. We had one other speaker. I can't remember who. Oh, Jason Storms. That's who I keep forgetting.
He's
unforgettable, though.
He's unforgettable. He's lovely. Right. So he was actually technically our very first speaker. He spoke at our very, very first meeting we had like a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And he does so much in the pro-life realm. And that is what really encouraged me to get involved and start sidewalk counseling outside our local abortion chamber.
Yeah, you do that.
And he he's just so lovely. He's with Operation Save America, and he's also the White Rose Resistance lead for Florida. And that's with Seth Gruber's organization. He's so wonderful. He's collaborated with Charlie so much. And he's just such a wonderful speaker. He played the 1916 Project. We did a viewing at our chapter. We had, I think that was our largest meeting. We had like around 80 people.
Wonderful.
It was so, so lovely. Mm. And everyone was able to get to see, you know, the horrors and atrocity of abortion, like firsthand.
Yes.
And that was just such a great opening door. And although we did have some people that did not come back because of that meeting, we were able to plant a seed in a lot of their minds.
Mm. And they're still actively involved.
Yeah. And so we were able to, like, you know, get a lot of people in the door through that meeting because they didn't know what abortion looked like, and especially not in Florida. And so he was able to educate, you know, a lot of people on our current policies, our current legislation, you know, different bills that might be proposed to be sponsored for the next legislative session, different things like that. So it was very, very informative. And then this for the fall, I'm hoping to hopefully host some members of the Florida cabinet. I've been speaking with a couple of people, so I'm hopeful to get them in. And I hope to host Speaker Paul Renner. He was going to do a meeting with us a couple of months ago. But he had some stuff for his campaign, so I said, please choose the campaign over us. I was like, please do. And so he's just so, so lovely and insightful, so I really hope to bring him in because every time I've seen him speak, he's just offered something new to the table.
Did you watch the debate on Thursday?
I did.
He completely shined in that debate.
He did so lovely.
He did, and I've been in close contact with his campaign. Tessa, if how many counties do we did we go into? We go into how many
14.
Counties? 14 counties
not
in Florida. 100%
in all of them.
This is it has a far reach, this radio station. If somebody is, you know, maybe a mom or a grandma or even a student is listening and wants to start maybe a Turning Point or a Club America chapter, can they contact you?
Yes, please contact us. My email for Turning Point is treasurecoast.tpusa@gmail.com.
Let's say that a little slower.
Okay. Usually I say it twice. treasurecoast.tpusa@gmail.com. You can reach out to us there if you'd like to get involved. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. Look up Treasure Coast Club America or Club America of the Treasure Coast. You'll find what we've been doing there, the different events we've gone to, the tablings that we've hosted. Super, super great stuff. But if you're interested in starting a Turning Point chapter or Club America,
or even going to yours if they're in the area.
If you're interested in coming to ours, please look us up, and you'll find
Port St. Lucie.
Port St. Lucie, but we span the Treasure Coast, so we go up to Sebastian, down to Martin County, and out to Okeechobee. So we kind of act as the hub, per se, that a lot of different chapters that are based in schools get to come out to, and we host these speakers, and then they get to bring the speakers to their own campuses. And so we kind of started that in collaboration with different people at Traditions High School. And then I expanded down into Martin County. And then I started talking to people up in Vero and then eventually Sebastian. And then we have Okeechobee as well. So all of these different chapters that just got started are able to come to us. We're able to help get them connected, network. Mm. And then if you are interested in starting a chapter and you are on the Treasure Coast, please let us know. We will come to your campus, and I would love to help collaborate with you guys. Come
Amen.
To your meetings if you'd like to show some more faces. Because I know it is so, so hard getting started and getting people out to the meetings themselves. Our very first meeting that we ever had, I literally had one other person attend that was on our board. And now we're up to around 50, 60 attendees.
Yeah.
And so that's been such a blessing. But look at clubamerica.com or TPUSA students. They both have ways to sign up and get registered with the chapter, and then you'll get connected with a field representative or a regional manager, and they should help you completely from there. It's super streamlined. They give you all the resources that you need. That is what I'm so, so thankful
for. That's impressive,
I know.
They
give you all the signage. I'm sure you've seen how wonderful we are with tabling. Like, they give us a tablecloth, signage. They design your logo for your Instagram or Facebook. They give you all the pins. They give you stickers, bands.
Yeah.
Literature, all kinds of things. And if you start a Club America or Turning Point USA chapter, you also have the ability to also start a Turning Point USA faith chapter in collaboration with that, so you can get those resources. Because through Turning Point Faith, you can actually host different courses and curriculums. So we actually hosted biblical citizenship. I know you're familiar with that.
Yes, I've taught that. Yep.
Yeah, so we hosted that. That was super successful. We've also hosted a different pro-life course from Dr. Lyle. We've hosted just a plethora of courses, and you have access to them completely free. And if you're in high school, you have the availability to do that and also get their merch. So you can be at events with their, you know, uniquely biblical pins, literature, and stickers. And so that's been super impactful because that's also a way to share the gospel. People may not know all of these different things. And so I'm just such a big advocate for them and getting involved. So those are two different ways. Visit their websites. Look online. You can find us.
One more time, please.
My ears don't work.
My ears don't work as fast as your mouth. So
yeah, I'm a fast talker. treasurecoast.tpusa at gmail.com.
Great.
Go straight to me. I'm the manager for that. So if you're interested, hopefully I respond swiftly.
And if you want to be added to the mailing list to know when that's all you have to do is email that email and we'll put you on.
Yes, because our location is not public information.
No, that's smart.
Yes, so it's strictly through our email basis. So if you're interested in attending our meetings or you've seen something online, our email will be attached. Email us. You'll be added in our email list. We don't swamp your emails. We only email when necessary. I hate people who do that. So we've been very attentive and aware of, engaging people with our meetings, but not overwhelming you.
That's cool. And if someone, wants to call, that's why I run it down.
We never opened up our phones, David.
Well, we did not.
Is it too late now?
I think it is a little bit too late, but
yeah. We're going to have him back on the radio, though. I can tell you that.
Certainly. Well, and at this email, if someone had a question for you, might have been listening today, they can write that question to this email, right?
Yep. Okay. And then I can connect you with my personal email from there, and then we can correspond through there. If you're interested, I can,
definitely
talk more with you.
Yeah, and I encourage listeners to do that.
Yes.
If you want to pursue more understanding of what TESA's all about, or TPUSA, and the Club America is all about.
The enemy is wanting to take over our kids, especially in the realm of education. Because, I'm a substitute teacher in St. Lucie County. It's not something I sought for, but the Lord put in my lap. Wow. Yeah. And we need to have clubs such as this, people such as TESA. We're not glorifying TESA. We're glorifying the God in TESA who's using her. But we need to have people who are speaking against that woke indoctrination. Telling people about Christ, getting involved in culture. There's seven mountains. It's education. We got like government. We have business. And people such as yourself talking to others. It's so important. And that's why I'm like, where were you when I was in high school? But to have this now is such a work of the Lord. And I pray that more chapters are opened and that, there's more awareness brought through your meetings. Even people coming to Christ, somebody bringing a visitor
Absolutely.
Who meets the Lord for the first time.
And we've had that happen.
You have.
God has been so, so good. We've had people that are like, I did not know about this from a biblical perspective. I'm not a Christian. And then they would learn so much through our meetings. And they'd be like, I would like to learn more. We've even had people come to our youth group or we're hosted in a church. So they've even come to our youth group after. They've even attended our church on Sundays. And it's just been such a great opportunity because we're in a church that we're able to get people involved in such a direct way that we might not be able to do in a school.
Isn't that? And there's studies that have come out. I don't know if you know this, David, but your age group right now is the boys who are now highly attending church. The attendance in your age group has gone up. And I believe it's because people in your age are done with all the lies that are coming at them. Yes. They can see through it. And now you're leading them to the truth. And that's what sets people free.
Amen.
That's what sets people free is Christ and his truth. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to these meetings. I love their meetings.
I'm just hearing so much hope in my heart as you're talking. And I will share a little bit. Some time ago, I don't know how long, maybe a couple of years ago, maybe more. But it was after the 2020 election, or whatever your thoughts are about that, in the past, but yet I have some questions. But anyway, I was so concerned, and it was at that point I really began to access what I would call is my concerns for America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where we're going, and where we're going, it does not look really good, at least it didn't then. But I was hungry for hope. And one night I was in my my prayer time, my devotional time. I said, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you will, if it's your will, give me a, help me understand where we are today with all of this. Because, Lord, you know, you created America. It looks like over the last several generations, people have managed to mangle that vision and to put us in danger of losing it. Mm-hmm. And so, help me. Well, he got me back to Exodus. Really, the whole story of Israel and Moses and the that wonderful story of after 400 years of slavery, they were able to leave Egypt for the promised land. Of course, we know the story only begins there. But we're the hope was, here's what the hope was coming from. I'll shorten this because I want you to be able to speak more. But he said, you know, he reminded me, he said, you know, what, 6 weeks they could have gotten there. But the people who left were not the people that needed to take the land. So the people who left were the ones complaining, murmuring, and complaining about me, complaining about Moses, complaining about everything, and not paying attention to what I was doing. And he said, yeah, along the way, some of those people changed their hearts. But he said, that generation had to die. And from that generation, there was a renewed generation. They were going to have the vision and the passion to embrace the gift of the promised land that God had for them.
Yeah.
And not just the land, but the relationship with God that he was calling them to have before they attained
his
the land.
People. Yep.
And so I said, okay, Lord, I think I'm getting it now. Is where we are in America is pretty much where Israel was just a while before Joshua took them across the Jordan and began the process of taking the land that God had promised them. And so that helps. We're not there yet. And when we take the land, it's going to be a full restoration of what God intended America to be.
Absolutely.
But a lot of that generation that's still complaining, some are in my generation, say, but they're dying off or they're turning around. So there's hope. How would you, what do you see hopeful today, Tessa?
I see, I think it's kind of going off of what Ann said was so much of the of my generation is turning back to the church and they are reading the Bible. They are getting involved to, you know, serve or attend, you know, young adults or youth group, even if they're, you know, younger. And that has really been such a blessing to see and witness. And people are turning back to the church in droves. And I think it's because the evil in our culture and society today has been so, so blatant and vivid. It's unignorable at this point. And they need something real. And they're seeing that in the church. And I think with the rise of, you know, these traditional conservative influencers or, you know, these people that perpetuate and advocate for Christian values, they are really cultivating such a prime environment to bring people back to the church and plant seeds.
That's, that is so cool. And it's absolutely true. God is doing it. It's amazing. And if you're, you know, listener, if so far what you've heard is inspiring you, pray more. If maybe for a lot of people, it's all they're going to be able to do is pray. But pray. And seek in your prayer for God to guide you as to the words. How should you pray? Because we have a lot of people like Tessa. They're right there. They want to serve. They're growing in their faith. They need opportunity. God's going to provide it. But we have to pray. That's why everybody's called to pray.
Everything starts when intercession and on our knees.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the only way it should start.
Yeah, it should start on our knees.
Because we try to do things in the flesh, but it's God who is the one who does it. We can't strive or we can't do. And you're not even striving. Like, all these opportunities are opening up for you because you're praying. Right, Mom? Shaylin?
They're literally
right.
Yes, but she has her own little testimony of wanting to be the butcher, but said, God, I only want what you want. So if you have a different direction, I want that. And that testimony that she's shared with me, it just, like, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that.
It was so funny
about her.
You're learning a lot more about your daughter.
Yes. Yeah. I was speaking at a school, and one of the little kids, because it was like, I got to speak for the chapel, and it was all ages. So she was around 6 and years old, and she was like, so what made you choose politics? And I started kind of going into my testimony regarding politics. I'll make it quick because I've said a lot of stories feel like. But I was wanting to get more involved, and there was a certain elected official that we somewhat knew. I was in close quarters with them because of different volunteer efforts I had done, and I was like, well, politics is all about networking. I should get to, you know, maybe I should shadow this person. And he was arrested for doing some inappropriate things, and he was, you know, not in office anymore. Mm-hmm. And seeing that really opened my eyes. I said, politics really is dirty. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in it. I don't want to be in it if this person I thought was a good Christian man did these things and he's no longer in office. I was like, I don't want to be a part of that. This was shortly before Charlie's assassination.
Okay.
So I really was like, this is not for me. And then after seeing Charlie's assassination, I was like, I cannot be a part of this. I don't want to be killed for my beliefs. Mm. I don't want to fight a losing battle. Because that's what I really thought it was. I said, this is a losing war, and we are not going to win this.
Mm.
And I just prayed about it. I said, you know, I thought about politics. This isn't for me. I'm doing great. I hopefully have a job lined up to be a butcher after I turn 18. Because you're not allowed to be a butcher until after 18. So I was like,
Makes sense.
Yeah, right? It checks out. So I was just like, I'm thriving there. Why would I do anything different? I said, Lord, if this is what you have for me, I need you to make it so abundantly clear. I have no connections. I have no networking opportunities. I know nothing about politics. I don't know a single person. And I got invited to speak at this Charlie Kirk birthday event in Port St. Lucie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a last minute thing. They didn't know that there was even a chapter on the Treasure Coast because we were so not well known at that rate. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you should kind of be hosting this. Do you want to come speak and be a part of this? And I said, sure. So I went up there, and everybody who had spoke before me was Republican. So they're speaking solely about, like, you know, Republican affairs.
Yep.
So we need more Republicans. When I went up there, I really prayed about what to say. I didn't have anything prepared. I said, we don't need more Republicans. We need more Christians.
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, naturally, Republicans are going to be more Christian, but we don't need more Republicans. We need more Christians. If you want to carry out what God really has for our nation and what Charlie's mission was, you need to become civically engaged and involved. And we need to get Christians out to the polls, out to vote. In office, we need to elect them. We cannot afford to have any more complacent Republicans hold office, because we are going to be fighting a losing war.
It's not about party. It's about biblical values.
Absolutely. Yes. This is
I'm
not
so
a party
glad that you
war.
Brought that up.
Not a party war.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It's a spiritual one.
It's definitely a spiritual
war. We pray for Democrats.
So the Lord
to
made it
to
clear
Christ
to
too.
You that this is the field they're supposed to be in. Trying to make it short, because I know that we're almost off
I know.
The air.
He just started opening doors left and right.
That's what we need to do. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is your plan for me? And he will show you.
Absolutely.
So I know we're down to
less than a minute now. Yeah. I wish we had more time. I will say this, that since you're so well connected with Ann, and she's so well connected with us. I certainly want to have you back on the air with us down the road.
I'd love that.
As God's getting you into more things, we want to hear about that.
Testifies
your
to
tremendous,
God's goodness.
Your tremendous witness, not just for Christ, but for what Christ is intending to do with his people today.
Mm-hmm.
The involvement that he's calling us to embrace.
Amen.
And you said something else I want to quickly acknowledge, because every call from God has two elements that seem diametrically opposed to each other. Great joy at being called and great fear of doing it, because nothing God calls us to is simple or easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And yet God's calling on us is always true, because he knows what he's doing. He's perfect. And the call he puts on us is out of his perfect will. So
that's
you
good.
Have
Amen.
Shared that testimony with us. And I thank you for that. We're going to have you back.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know when, but God knows. Until next week, I thank you for listening. If you want that email to contact Tessa, you can call the station.
Yeah.
We'll make sure
you
have it. God bless you, and until we meet again. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.